educational system. Now, he'll become Purdue's ninth president on the 1st of July, taking over from acting president John Hicks, who had indicated he did not want to assume the job of president permanently after the departure of Arthur Hanson at the end of last June. In recommending the nomination of Dr. Behring to the board, Don Powers, the president of the Board of Trustees, said that Dr. Behring's one of the finest educators and administrators in the country, and I'm pleased and proud that he's accepted the challenge to lead Purdue. Powers also pointed out that Behring has a reputation as a superb organizer and a frugal administrator, and that fits in perfectly with the Purdue tradition. Powers went on to say that since 1974, Behring's been very successfully running one of the biggest medical schools in the country, as well as a six-hospital medical center that treats more than 750,000 patients a year, also the statewide education system with medical students training in eight cities, including here in West Lafayette. So there is a Purdue connection already. Now, John Hicks, who has been, as we mentioned, the acting president of Purdue, noted of Behring, he's absolutely the best person the trustees could have selected. Steve Behring will be an outstanding president. Besides his other obvious qualifications, he knows Indiana's higher education system well, and because of Purdue's part in the statewide medical education program, he's had extensive dealings with us here at Purdue. Behring has is 50 years old, born in Berlin, and for several years has been involved with the program at IU, the medical center, of course, in Indianapolis. Another Purdue connection that Behring already has, his son, one of his sons, David, is an electrical engineering and computer science major here at Purdue. Another son, Peter, is 22 years old, and another son, John, is 13. Jane Pickering Behring is slated to become the first lady of Purdue, again, July 1st, when Dr. Behring takes over the reins of the university. He said he was humble and proud to be named to the position, and that he hopes to serve well the care and custody of the world's greatest institution. Now, Mark, as we're sitting here waiting for Dr. Behring to come down the hall, basically, here on the third floor of Stewart Center, this room is filling up. We've got local and state media, and quite an interesting story not only around here, but statewide today.
Absolutely. This was one of those situations where the only room available was room 307 in Stewart Center, and so that's where they're having the news conference, and quite obviously they are going to have this room filled up with, as you mentioned, local media, Indianapolis media, matter of fact, people from across the state, just coming to meet the man who is going to be leading Purdue University into a rather challenging future. We've talked, of course, quite a bit the past couple of years through news stories and interviews, et cetera, about the kinds of challenges that Purdue faces. And, of course, this could be a pretty important time, this particular fiscal biennium, facing Purdue and facing a new president coming in.
And that's certainly a topic that we hopefully will hear about here in the next several minutes. As we mentioned, Dr. Behring and his family come down to this smaller room than the meeting room here on the third floor. A busy day for Dr. Behring, as we know, after this news conference, which is scheduled for right about now, a little before 10 o'clock, about 11 o'clock, he goes to a reception in the South Ballroom of the Purdue Memorial Union. Again, that's at 11 o'clock, and the entire campus community, and community at large for that matter, is welcome to that. That'll be in the South Ballroom of the Purdue Memorial Union. The Purdue Student Association is honoring Dr. Behring as he officially becomes Purdue's president-to-be. A luncheon will follow in the union at noon. 1:30, the Purdue Board of Trustees will have an executive session dealing with Dr. Behring's appointment. He's a professor of medicine and, as we mentioned, the dean, of course, of the IU Medical School. A little bit of a biographical sketch here while we're, again, still waiting. Dr. Behring graduated from the University of Pittsburgh with both BS and MD degrees. He is a medical doctor, Dr. Behring. He's certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine. He's a fellow of the American College of Physicians. Dr. Behring is also a member of numerous honorary scientific and professional societies, including Phi Beta Kappa, Sigma Xi, Alpha Omega Alpha, the American Federation for Clinical Research, the Endocrine Society, the American Medical Association, and the Association of American Medical Colleges. Behring is also the past chairman of the AMA Section on Medical Schools, the Liaison Committee on Medical School Accreditation, and the Council of Deans of the AAMC. In addition to all of that, he's currently chairman of the Association of Medical Colleges and chairman of the Council for Medical Affairs and a member of the Board of Visitors of the University of Pittsburgh, where he did some of his undergraduate work and his PhD work. College of Liberal Arts at the University of Pittsburgh Bachelor of Science back in 1954, again Baring is 50 years old, and went on to get his medical degree at Pittsburgh in 1958. Did his intern work at Walter Reed General Hospital in Washington, D.C. in 1958 and 1959. His residency at Wilford Hall U.S. Air Force Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. He holds a Pennsylvania State Board license in medicine and surgery, a Texas State license in medicine and surgery, and, as you might expect, an Indiana State license in medicine. He's also a certified American Board of Internal Medicine member. That accreditation came in 1965. As we're still waiting here, some of the university administrators who've been at this meeting are now filing in. A long table in the front of room 307 at Stewart Center. Acting Purdue President John Hicks is acting almost as a maitre d', arranging some people sitting down here in front of a large bank of microphones. Dr. Baring and his wife are sitting down now in the center of this long table. Donald Powers, the president of the Purdue Board of Trustees, is about ready to sit down in front of Dr. Baring as well. And Acting President John Hicks is sitting down too. We may well be ready to go any moment now, so let's go up to the front table and Don Powers.
You want them? Come on, let's come this way, Don. Oh, Steve. There.
More down.
Get you in the eye of the storm.
Yeah.
What a crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to open this press conference this morning, which we can proudly present the new president of Purdue University and his very lovely wife. Prior to that, I would like to make sure that you know who the people are at the table, and starting over on my right is the student representative to the Board of Trustees, Jim Dodson. I will skip Mr. and Mrs. Baring. I am Don Powers, President of the Board of Trustees. On my left is John Hicks, Acting President of the University, and Dr. Carl Brandt, who is the faculty representative to the Board of Trustees. I, at this time, would like to introduce to you Dr. Baring, Dr. Stephen C. Baring, who is coming to Purdue from the deanship of the Indiana Med School at Indianapolis, and whose background includes a long career of teaching in the field of medicine, and that he graduated from the University of Pittsburgh and took his medical degree from the University of Pittsburgh, and he served for an extensive time in the Air Force. He is a doctor in the Air Force. We're extremely happy and proud to have him as the ninth president of Purdue University, Dr. Stephen C. Baring. It's all your show.
Thank you very much, President Powers. I'm indeed privileged and honored to have been asked by the trustees to serve as Purdue's ninth president. I accept this responsibility humbly because of the enormity of the task, but gladly because it is an exciting opportunity to make a difference. During the past 14 years, I have had the pleasure to develop a close relationship with Purdue, both as a faculty colleague and as a parent. In each instance, I have been impressed by Purdue's high standards, outstanding programs, and committed faculty. In establishing our centers for medical education throughout the state, we built one at West Lafayette. In fact, this is where the program began in 1967 and 68, and also one at Fort Wayne. And during that period, I've had the good fortune to work closely with Frederick Hufte and Arthur Hansen. I have the deepest affection and respect for both of them and pledge you my best effort to follow their example. By the way, Art Hansen called me last night. It was a very emotional conversation. We recalled the things we have done together here at West Lafayette and on various boards and committees, and I invited him to be with us on as many occasions as time permitted, and I hope that he will be with us this spring for the gala. When it was first proposed that I consider this position, I thought it might be difficult for an IU physician to leave the medical center and move to a land-grant university. But the more I looked into the matter and the more people I talked to, the more convinced I became that it was not only possible, but perhaps the most exciting step of my entire professional career. You see, we share the same basic goals. Both of our institutions, IU and Purdue, are dedicated to improving the human condition through education, service, and research. The difference lies only in the specific programs, not in fundamental mission. Furthermore, IU and Purdue have had a historic partnership in complementing and helping one another for the benefit of the state of Indiana. My medical background has taught me to work with people, and my administrative duties as director of the largest medical center in North America and the opportunity to work in 9 locations with our statewide system has given me a chance to develop the management skills to run a multimillion dollar enterprise. In 1818, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Charter of the University of Virginia. He was concerned that the schools in this country were teaching the classics, law, theology, and medicine, and were not relevant. And so he defined this new state institution as a place in which every branch of knowledge useful at this day is taught in its highest degree. It was 44 years later, in 1862, that the Morrill Act authorized the establishment of similar universities in each state of the Union. These universities were to be called land-grant universities, and Purdue is Indiana's land-grant university. Like Jefferson's school, it is ideally suited by tradition and experience to be relevant and to address today's problems. What does it mean to be a land-grant university in 1983? I believe that it means, first of all, that we should continue to perform those functions for which we are best known. That is, the study of agriculture, engineering and applied science, pharmacy, veterinary medicine, the basic sciences, technology, management, and so on. It also means, however, to continue to be relevant, that we must emphasize service to the community, especially economic development of the state and nation, and the exploration of new areas of education and service, such as communication and computer sciences, genetic engineering, and space research, among others. It further means an openness to new collaborations with government at all levels, with business, with industry, and other institutions, not just IU, but other institutions throughout the state and nation and even internationally. When I come here full-time on July the 1st, the university will have entered its 115th year. During that time, Purdue has had 2 main goals and purposes. First, to provide the opportunity for education to Indiana men and women so that they may become more productive and enlightened citizens, and second, to aid in the economic development of our state and nation. Certainly, these goals and purposes will not change during my administration. With the help of the splendid faculty and staff that exist on all of Purdue's campuses and of the thousands of Purdue alumni and friends across the world, I shall dedicate myself to create an environment that fosters individual excellence in order to achieve and maintain institutional greatness. President Powers, I am indeed flattered and honored, and I hereby formally accept once more this enormous challenge and opportunity, this gift of trust that you are giving me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Perry. At this time, if there are any questions from members of the press, You may direct questions to any member of the head table or specific to Dr. Behring. Yes.
Dr. Behring, what do you view Purdue's biggest challenge as being during the 1980s?
Well, it'll be like all other universities, is first of all to stay at the cutting edge. And that means that we have to endeavor to not rely solely on the one-third of support that is assured by the state, but in order to make the difference and to have a margin of excellence, we will have to emphasize philanthropy and connections with business and industry. I think that'll be our biggest challenge.
Yes, Dr. Behring. Looking down into the level of the students who are going to be coming to Purdue out of the high schools, we keep hearing that more and more youngsters today perhaps are not as qualified coming out of the high schools for higher education. I don't know whether this is an unfair question to ask you at this point or not, but what do you see as the challenge that the university sees looking at the high school level?
Well, I'm delighted with that question. I've been concerned about that for some time. You know, currently there are two issues. One is the decline in the number of 18-year-olds, which will continue through 1995, then level off and gradually increase. The second is much more serious. It's an attitude problem, and that is that such a small number of high school students are bound for college. It's in the 30% thereabouts in this state. We stand 45th in the nation, and as you will learn, whenever someone comes to see me, they wind up with a job. And the job I'm going to give the students today is that they must be ambassadors to tell the story of not just Purdue, but of university life to their younger colleagues in high school. And just imagine if only 1% more of Indiana high school seniors were motivated to come to high school, to college, they could assure themselves of a better job opportunity and a higher income and a more productive life in their adult years. Great challenge. Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Behring, do you suppose that Purdue will continue to expand its graduate level programs in Indianapolis, particularly in science?
I can't answer that specifically because I have not had a chance to do what I'm planning to do in the next 5 months, which is to go about the state and meet the Purdue people and see the Purdue programs in person. But I will say this. I think that IU and Purdue can complement one another and collaborate. And there are, of course, two major schools, science and engineering, on the Indianapolis campus. Together they enroll about half of all the full-time students at IUPUI. And since this is an area which is essential for economic development and for the future of our nation and our world, I would hope that we could do everything possible to strengthen it.
Dr. Behring, can you tell us?
May I make one comment here? I forgot to announce, but would you please state your name and what paper you represent or news facility you represent when you ask the question, please?
So I'm Greg Zawischer with WBAA Radio here on campus, and I was just wondering if you could share with us the history of your candidacy for the position that has boiled down to this morning. How did you first get involved with the search, et cetera?
Well, about 4 or 5 months ago, I apparently was nominated. I was contacted to explore my interest in the position, and literally hundreds of conversations ensued. And with my background of having worked with Purdue, I became very interested in looking into the opportunity which was presented. And I think it's fair to say that within the last 2 or 3 weeks, then we mutually came to the conclusion that we were meant for each other. Yes, sir.
Dr. Behring, Rich Van White with Channel 13 out of Indianapolis. You mentioned the great deal of cooperation between IU and Purdue. That cooperation is equaled and at sometimes seemingly surpassed by the amount of rivalry between both the two schools. I'm sure that your appointment here today is going to raise some eyebrows in camps of staunch IU supporters and staunch Purdue supporters. How do you feel about that, and what are your plans for your red and white wardrobe of blazers and sweaters?
A garage sale has been suggested. Well, I think, first of all, we're all citizens of Indiana, and one of the great things that characterizes this state, and as you know, I'm quite active in Washington and national affairs, they never understand how come we get things done in Indiana, and it's because we put Indiana first. And so we're all Hoosiers, obviously. The rivalry, I think, is a very healthy thing. It should, however, I hope in the future, be confined more to the athletic endeavors, where I will cheer for the right team, I assure you. And I'm happy you give me a chance to speak to that, because John Ryan and I have spent extensive hours of discussing this, and the trustees of IU as well as Purdue have assured me that they would like nothing better than to strengthen our mutual relationships on the various campuses where we're now together, like Fort Wayne and Indianapolis, and of course there are programs like the new technology program, which we're hoping to get approved by the General Assembly, which would be guest host type programs on other locations. And I think that a little rivalry, even in some of those programs, may strengthen them rather than detract from them. Yes?
My name is Brian Andrews. I'm the campus editor of the Exponent. When Art Hansen was appointed president 10 years ago, he said that he would only reign for about 10 years. I'm wondering, do you have any limitations on the amount of time that you'll reign?
I appreciate the regal connotation that you give. I have no plans beyond being your president, and hopefully as long as health and the good Lord permits to be with you and to work with you as a partner and as a member of the team. And I really can't speculate what length of time that might be, Brian. Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Dewing, I'm Mary Dieter with the Courier-Journal out of Louisville. There's a lot of talk at the state legislature level of economic development, changing Indiana into being a high-tech state to try to take care of some of our economic problems. Where does Purdue fit into that whole scheme of things?
Well, Purdue fits into that really first and foremost, and I have, before even coming here, been working with the Eldon Campbell Task Force on Science and Technology and with the Lilly Endowment Task Force on Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition, which is now a standing event as well. And I think that we are uniquely suited in this university by background, by experience, by people, by programs, to make an enormous impact, not only on the revitalization of the Indiana economy, but really I think we are an international university and we ought to gladly accept that leadership responsibility and function on the national and international scene in the high-tech area, in engineering and agriculture. As you know, food and nutrition is probably the biggest problem the world over. There are a billion people who are starving, and maybe we can help influence a national policy that we would feed rather than fight the world.
Joellen Sharp with the Indianapolis Star. Do you plan to keep Dr. Hicks as your right-hand man, as their two predecessors have?
I would be very proud if the team that is now running Purdue and has brought it to this excellence would be willing to remain with me. I can't speak about the specific titles and jobs, but I plan to make no changes in the immediate future at all. I don't fix things that aren't broken, Joellen, you know that. Yes, ma'am.
Debbie Roth, I'm a student in a Purdue Broadcast Journalism class. Which of your qualities or characteristics do you think will best help you run this university?
Probably my sense of humor and not taking myself too seriously. I have no illusions about what it's like to run a big organization. I think you've heard that from my past biography. And it's too bad when the chief executive officer believes that he's got to have it his way all the time and takes things too seriously. So I think that that would be the main ingredient.
Might ask Mrs. Baring her thoughts on becoming first lady to be of Purdue.
Oh, I think it's very exciting. I think it's going to be quite a challenge. But we are looking forward to moving to Lafayette.
Barbara Burke with The Independent, the off-campus student newspaper. Many of our people are non-traditional students or people who've been in the job market and then returned to school. Are there any programs that you can foresee that will aid these people in getting financial assistance or in socializing back into the university community?
Well, you've really asked two questions. First of all, I see a great opportunity in taking care of the non-traditional student in the usual university environment. Again, Purdue is well suited to that with its regional programs and the programs here. Secondly, there's the economic issue, and currently, in my present capacity as chairman of the Association of American Medical Colleges, we have worked with the AAU, which is the major presidential organization that Purdue belongs to, along with the National Association of Universities Land-Grant Colleges. We have had as our first priority nationally two things, and that is the support of students, not only financial aid, but other kinds of student support, and the second item has been to support research and creative scholarship. We believe that if this nation is going to make the kind of progress that we're capable of, and if we are going to remain preeminent in the world, that creative scholarship has to be enhanced. And toward that end, the AAU and these other organizations are, and by the way, I'm on some AAU committees right now, and have a leg up in that regard, are dedicated to help through the NSF and the NIH and other organizations to achieve the ends that you are asking in your question. Yes, sir.
Mark Boardman with WBAA. You've mentioned the high-tech areas and stressing the strengths, the traditional strengths here at Purdue of agriculture, engineering, technology, et cetera. But of course, there are many students here on campus who are not majoring in those areas. What about the arts and humanities? Where do those fit in?
Well, that's a very good question. I am very dedicated to the arts and humanities. I think before you can become really a contributing citizen to society, you must first be a complete individual. You can't just be an engineer. I have a son who is a student here, and he's heard this at home, that one has to be well-rounded. And you can't be well-rounded if you haven't an appreciation for what has gone before and what is now and what may yet be. One must know history. One must know current events. One must have an appreciation for one's own sanity's sake of the arts, music, literature, and so on. Purdue has an opportunity, I think, to make the arts a development area and to also reemphasize our attention to the humanities and the liberal arts in the near future.
Dr. Hicks, are you looking forward to getting off the hot seat?
Well, I really haven't minded the hot seat, but I am absolutely delighted with the choice of Dr. Bearing. I've known Steve for a long, long time. Many conversations we've had, Steve has said, gee, I like the way you do things up at Purdue, and we always liked the way Steve did things at the medical school. I just think that we couldn't possibly have found a better a person for this job, and as I've sometimes said, only half jokingly, I'm delighted to get out of the acting presidency and get back to running the university.
Other questions?
Mr. Powers, this must be a bit of a relief for you and the members of the board as well to finally come to a conclusion with this search.
We celebrated very late last week. If there are no other questions, we appreciate you being here. I would like to introduce one other member of the Bearing family who is in the background there. It's David Bearing, a student in mechanical engineering school, and of course, he will now be a distinguished student in all of his courses.
I might want to say Steve will be an old friend in private, you know, for any interview.
If any of you want to talk directly to Dr. Bearing, I'm sure he will be happy to answer your questions. We do, however, have a reception in a short time with the students down in the South Ballroom. Any of you want to attend, you're welcome there also. If there are no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And so we've just gotten a brief introduction, perhaps, to the ninth president of Purdue University, Dr. Stephen Bearing. Your impressions, Greg?
I saw a story on the AP Wire this morning that indicated that Dr. Bearing is not afraid to say what he thinks, and I think he offered some insight that way this morning. Should be an interesting tenure. Might point out, too, that for persons in the community or on the campus community who wish to meet with Dr. Bearing, In about 40 minutes or so, 11 a.m. is the scheduled time, the Purdue Student Association is holding a reception for Purdue's ninth president-to-be, and that's in the South Ballroom of the Purdue Memorial Union.
We might just recap briefly what Dr. Bearing said during his initial news conference. Talked first of all about how he was very happy and very pleased to be assuming the reins of control here at Purdue University. And he made that initial comparison between his current employer, Indiana University, and Purdue, saying that actually the two schools are very similar, with a mission to serve the state and the people of the state, and that they actually complement and help each other, and so that he hopes that that will continue throughout his tenure as the president of Purdue. He said that he will need to check more in the background to see exactly what needs to be done, but his background as a physician has enabled him to work with people extensively, and therefore he knows how to work with people, and obviously that's going to be a major part of the president's role in the next decade. Dave Bunty is with us also today, helping out with engineering. And Dave, your impressions. You've seen a couple of presidents come and go. How does this man stack up?
First of all, I want to mention that Greg Zawisza is going to see if he can get Dr. Bearing to join us for at least a few moments here before he has to get on to his other obligations. But one thing that I'm very pleased to note is all over the university there is a real feeling of elation that the decision has been reached, that a person has been selected to fill this top position at the university. And just in the last couple of days, as Dr. Bearing was being mentioned as the likely person to be confirmed to that position, universally I heard people echoing feelings, very good feelings about it, much the kinds of feelings that Dr. Hicks mentioned, that it is not conceivable that the Board of Trustees could have selected a better person. And Dr. Bearing's demeanor here in the room, he was at ease with the people, he was at ease with all of the kinds of questions that were directed to him. He seemed to enjoy being here. His sense of humor came through. I think quite universally within this university community, the feelings are very, very good about the man who's been selected. And, of course, as a staff member, I feel wonderful about that myself.
I think you've made a key point there in that Dr. Bearing's appointment has sort of taken a cloud of uncertainty from the university right now. Greg Zawisza has the chairman of the Board of Trustees here.
Don Powers, in a word, you're probably feeling... is relief a good word this morning now that the long search is over?
I think you probably had a very simple word that aptly describes how we feel.
It's been a
long process, which the pressure has been rather intense at times, and there's always the worry about the person you select being accepted and being well qualified, and I think that we have gotten an individual that is eminently qualified and will do a good job for Purdue University.
Dr. Bearing mentioned that 4 or 5 months ago he originally was getting some feedback on the position, and within the past just 2 or 3 weeks the statement was realized that we were made for each other. From your end, how did that evolve?
Well, his name was suggested by a member of the faculty, or in fact a couple of different members of the faculty, suggested his name to me, and I called Dr. Bearing and went and had lunch with him, and we explored the possibility, and from that original meeting, why we had carried on a dialogue over a period of months with he and other members of the board and with the faculty selection committee, and at the very end, why we just felt strongly that he was the best possible candidate and one that was that we should have for the presidency of Purdue, and we elected him.
It's been about 15 months since Arthur Hanson announced that he was leaving. This was November of last year. Did you think it would take 15 months to find a new chief executive for the university?
Well, we had hoped that we'd be able to do it in 10 or 11 months. But the very nature of the process is such that first we spend a couple of months getting nominations. And then the faculty committee reviews those for personal references, and that takes another 2 or 3 months. And then the individual interviews by the trustees and the background search that we do, and it takes time. And I know it sounds like a long time, but this is not as long as they took when they selected Art Hansen, and it's not near as long as it took when they selected Dr. Hovde. So in essence, it sounds like a long time, but it's really been a short time because Dr. Hicks was appointed the 1st of July of 82, and this is January, and it's been a period of some 7 months, and actually he will serve 1 year as acting president when Dr. Bering comes aboard. So,
thank you. I know you're on a tight schedule. We thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And that was the chairman of the Board of Trustees, Don Powers, talking a little bit about the selection process for Dr. Stephen Bering as the new chief executive of Purdue University. Of course, that selection process had been pretty well kept under wraps. They'd tried to keep it as quiet as possible, fearing, perhaps rightly, that if any undue information got out, it might scare away some potential candidates. And in a couple of cases, indications are that might actually have happened. But Don Powers seemed to indicate that they got the best man for the job no matter what.
I don't think there's any doubt of that in the minds of anybody around here. I think it's interesting, in a position like this, as is often the case with top administrative positions, Dr. Bering was suggested for the job rather than he applying for the job. And there had been considerable thought given to whether or not he would be the right man before it was discussed with him. And I think we, of course, are delighted that the discussion led to their to a mutual agreement that the job was right. And I think this is extremely important. At lower levels, when you and I may be in a job search situation, we may be in a position of needing employment. This is a very typical thing. A person is looking for a job because they do not have a job. The college student coming fresh out of school, they need a job. They have a need to take maybe the only job that is offered to them. They don't have much opportunity to be discriminatory and say, is this job right for me? In the case of this selection, the university took the time necessary to determine, is this the right person for the job? Dr. Bering took the time necessary to decide, is this the right job for him? And so when there is that much mutual consideration of the pros and cons, I think it greatly increases the chance that the decision that was made was right for all parties involved.
And I think in relation to that as well, the fact that Dr. Bering knows people at Purdue, knows how Purdue runs, will obviously help, first of all, with the transition period, but it should make for a much easier time for all, since he knows what he's stepping into, and people basically know him as well. Might mention that Greg Zawisha is over in a corner right now trying to get Dr. Bering to come over to our broadcast area. Dr. Bering still answering questions from various members of the media. The room quickly emptying at this point as reporters from all forms of the media trying to get back and meet deadlines or see if they can get the story across the wire. But a few still hanging around to ask a few questions of the new president, Dr. Hicks. The acting president says we'll have him here in just a minute. Again, Dr. Bering said that the biggest challenge for the 80s, and perhaps beyond that, is for Purdue to stay at the cutting edge. In other words, to find the funds necessary to keep the university at the high standard and level at which Purdue and the state is accustomed. And in order to do that, the university will have to go out and find funds from sources other than just the legislature, from business, from philanthropy, from other sources such as that, things that Dr. Hansen, in his tenure as the president, started really going for.
Yes, Purdue, for the size of institution, has not traditionally been among the leaders in getting funds from outside sources. But during the last 10 years, we saw the university undertake some major fundraising programs, and very successfully. The plan for the 80s, the last major fundraising campaign that Dr. Hansen embarked upon, was highly successful. Terrific cooperation, both from people within the university community who were willing to give something back to helping the institution, and from the immediately surrounding community and from beyond. It was a program that was quite successful. Just in the last few weeks, the phone-a-thon where students got on the phone and called alums to see what kind of support they could give back to the institution they had recently come from, also had some had considerable success. So these are things that are relatively new activities to Purdue compared to a Harvard, for example, that is very heavily endowed. And yet it is something that in these last few years, Purdue has shown some success in this area. It is obviously an area that is going to be increasingly important, and it is reassuring to know that Dr. Buehring understands and is willing to accept the challenge of continuing these kinds of endeavors.
You mentioned the phone-a-thon that had just been going on in the later parts of January, and he mentioned something that I think probably is a key, using students as an ambassador, not just for the university, but for higher education, perhaps an area that has been neglected at many institutions in the past, perhaps even here at Purdue, using that great student body to go out and sell the university for what it is, a part of the economic development and spirit of the state.
Yes, I think that being a land-grant institution, as he talked about, puts Purdue in a good position to do that, because we are dealing with reality, with the practical, preparing, hopefully, as Dr. Buehring pointed out, well-rounded individuals who can contribute to society, appreciate that which has gone before and perhaps that which is to come, but also the people that can function in society, that can make our economic system work, that can become both the workers and the leaders of industry and of the whole structure of the country. It looks like we'll be in luck here in just a few moments that Greg has Dr. Buehring headed this way, so we will have an opportunity to bring him to you personally before he goes on to his other commitments.
Greg Zawisha here with the new president of Purdue University, Dr. Stephen Buehring.
Since we're live and kind of informal, I might introduce you to Mark Boardman of our staff.
Pleasure to meet you.
And Dave Bundy is our station manager.
How are you? Glad to know you.
A lot of question marks, I think, today from the Purdue faculty, students, administrators. What is the Buehring style? What can we expect come July 1st?
Buehring style is one of hard work and self-discipline. It's one of a team worker. I see myself as perhaps the first among equals as the president. I am not one who shoots from the hip or who makes changes dramatically. I like evolution rather than revolution. I like everyone to be together on the issues. I like to work in committees, for example, by consensus rather than by a vote of 29 to 28 or something like that. I think you will find that I wear pretty easily. Now, I demand a lot of myself, and I ask a lot of others. I would hope, for example, that all Purdue people speak with one voice on major issues. It would be a shame if we were a house divided against ourselves when it comes to, say, lobbying efforts with the Higher Education Commission or the State Budget Agency and the legislature. It would be important, I believe, that the students, the faculty, the alumni, the administration, that we keep our differences in-house and that we present a united front when we meet the public. So you will find me making great efforts to achieve consensus and to present the positive side whenever that's possible. I'm a possibility thinker. I like the alliteration that Purdue people are possibility people. I think we are. I've seen that over the past 14, 15 years that I've been privileged to work with Hufde Hansen and Andrews and Hicks and many others here. And I think the students here at Purdue are particularly serious and dedicated. And I like that because if you don't take your preparation for life seriously, you're not going to be as well equipped as you ought to be when you're out there in your jobs and professions. So I am very positive on this opportunity and look forward to it with great enthusiasm.
What will the next 4 or 5 months bring in the transition period as far as you're concerned and gearing up for the Purdue presidency?
Well, the next 4 or 5 months I hope to spend in the neighborhood of a day a week at Purdue and at the various campuses of Purdue. I'm planning to meet the officers of the university, the vice presidents, the deans, the chancellors, the chairman in person. I believe that the best fertilizer is the footprint of the farmer, and that means I have to personally go, or if you like, I'm a doctor who makes house calls, and I'm going to go and find out firsthand what makes Purdue tick and what makes the people that make the programs that make the university enjoy Purdue, and what are their hopes, their aspirations, what are their concerns, what are the issues that ought to formulate the agenda for action for the next year or so. We're going to try to have departmental reviews on Saturdays. Phil Haas and I have already begun to set this up. We're going to review a school per day, and I want to, out of those kinds of reviews and assessments, which I hope will be very honest and self-analytical and self-critical, come forward with an agenda for action, as I stated, and particularly with a series of options and alternatives and possibilities that we see, not only in regard to the existing programs, but as I mentioned in my introductory remark, in regard to new programs that we ought to be about.
Dr. Bearing, what is the biggest challenge for you personally going from the dean's position at the IU Med School to the president of this university?
Well, I guess it's to convince the people on both sides that an IU physician can be a credible individual in a land-grant college presidency. I hope that I can achieve that even during the next few weeks and months. From a personal point of view, as you put it, the administrative responsibilities are really not quite that different. I'm currently in charge of a medical center that has a budget that is larger than Purdue University. We employ 9,000 people. Last year we saw 776,611 patients. We have an enormous research budget, one of the largest in the country, one of the top 12 out of 144 medical schools. I have regularly met with, and will again next week, in fact, I will be presenting the IU budgets relative to medicine and statewide health programs half an hour before John Hicks will show up for the Purdue budgets. I've been doing that regularly. I'm not a stranger to the Higher Education Commission, the Budget Agency, the various committees of the General Assembly. I have worked closely with Governor Bowen and also with the current governor. In fact, we go back 15 years when we were on the Commission for Medical Education together, Governor Orr and I, and we're close personal friends. So in a sense, I'm hitting the ground running, because those kinds of issues, which would certainly be troublesome to the usual newcomer to a presidency, are very comfortable for me. And I know how to act in those situations, and I have some ideas of how, with openness and with cooperative stance and some homework, we can be very successful there.
We know you're on a tight schedule, so we'll let you go, and thank you for the time.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Bearing, who again this morning was officially named after a couple of weeks of rampant rumor, finally named the ninth president of Purdue University. Any closing thoughts, Greg?
Let's see what the next few years, few decades brings. I was intrigued by the one point. Most Purdue historians will remember that when Arthur Hansen was in this position 11 years ago, he was asked how long he'd want to stay, and 7 to 10 years was the answer, and 10 years was the actual result. And as Dr. Bearing said, as long as the health holds out and the Lord's willing, a long tenure. So it ought to be an interesting 5, 10, 20, 30 years.
And our questions obviously will be answered at that point. Dave, anything from you?
I think not. I'm glad that we were able to have at least a few moments now with Dr. Bearing, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to keep our listeners in touch with the university directly through the president's office in the future.
So a brief look at Dr. Stephen Bearing and some questions perhaps posed by the future. Questions, of course, that are always posed by new answers, and the answer this morning was Dr. Bearing as the new president of Purdue University. So for Dave Bunte, Greg Zawisha, Lou Bushfield, who has helped us out with engineering as well, Maury Mogridge as well, helping us back in the studio. This is Mark Boardman from Stewart Center, returning you now to Roger Priest at the studios.
You're in tune with Purdue's radio station, WBAA, West Lafayette, Indiana. You heard the ins and the outs, the basics of his philosophy, of his style, You heard his style, Dr. Stephen C. Bearing. Acting Purdue president until this morning, how's that for a title to put on your desk plate? John Hicks talks about the new president and perhaps has a few more items that would be of interest to you on this morning when the presidency of the new Purdue official has been officially released.
I've known Dr. Bearing really quite well for the past decade or so, and I've always had both the greatest personal affection for him and the greatest respect for him as an educator and as an administrator. He is a first-class individual. He has boundless energy. He has done an utterly marvelous job at the IU Medical School. He has helped that school develop into a much better institution than it was when he took over. He's had national responsibilities in the medical area so that he is a national figure as well as a local figure. He knows the state of Indiana. We have always found him excellent to work with at Purdue. He's always seemed to like to do things in basically the Purdue style. And for this reason, we have gotten along extremely well with Steve. And I'd be absolutely honest with you, I just couldn't be more pleased. I think we are most fortunate to have been able to get him to come here as our ninth president, and I couldn't be more pleased at the results of the presidential search. I think it's just come out in a splendid fashion.
In talking to just a few people around town, some have questioned me, saying, well, why a person who has just been the head of a medical school, why not get someone who has been a university president prior to this? I'll ask you that question.
Well, I think when you're seeking for a university president, when you're searching for a university president, your main goal is to get absolutely the best person you can get. Now, certainly the person's experience is a factor in that. The person's basic integrity, basic intelligence, energy level, and whether the person fits the institution are all very important factors. The person's dedication to students, to higher education, in this instance, to the land-grant tradition. And when you look at Steve Bearing and talk to him and understand his background, you find that he rates very, very highly in all of these regards. Now, it's true he has not been a president of a university. On the other hand, the medical center operation, which he has headed, has a budget, I guess, in total probably larger than Purdue's. When you look at all the hospitals, when you look at the number of employees, it's not easy to head a medical institution, and he has done it, I think, most adroitly. I know from conversations with him over the years that he has had great respect for Purdue, that he likes the way we do things. He is dedicated to the land-grant tradition, even though he hasn't been a part of it himself. He has always been motivated in that direction. And his level of integrity and his basic intelligence and his, I think, ability at human relationships, in my judgment, make him a splendid candidate. You talk to people at the medical school who he has worked with, and they are destitute at his leaving. He has built a loyalty down there that I think gives a key to the kind of person he is.
I would wonder what kind of transition period there is going to be with you more or less showing him the ropes and letting him assume control as the president and you going back to your prior duties.
Well, I'd see no real problem here at all. As I say, he does know the state of Indiana. He knows a good deal about Purdue. He has much to learn. I'm sure in the very beginning, some alumni and some friends will say, just as you did, you know, why a doctor? Why an IU dean? But I think as soon as they get to know him, and as he gets broken into the Ag alumni way of doing things, and I'm sure he will be have many indignities heaped on his head by Maury Williamson and others, I think they will understand that we've gotten a wonderful person. You always have some transition when a new president comes in, but I really believe this one is going to be minimal. Certainly, I want to help him in every way I can, and he wants me to do that, so I will work with him just as I did with President Hansen and President Hovde. I know that Fred Ford and Felix Haas feel very good about his appointment, and they will certainly be help in every way they can. And we have, you know, such a wonderful group here at Purdue, our administration, our faculty and staff, such a loyal group, that I'm sure that his transition will not be a difficult one at all. The big problem we're all going to have is keeping up with the guy. He is a dynamo.
I think you're going to have a problem, too, getting him used to gold and black as opposed to red and white.
Well, Joe Rudolph, the alumni secretary, has already presented him with a Purdue necktie. We are having him burn any red coats or hats he may have, and he has volunteered to do that immediately, because while he still has the greatest affection for IU and was very, very happy down there, he knows now that he will become president of Purdue, And that's a little different. On the other hand, remember this. The only place we and IU really compete is on the athletic field, the gridiron, the basketball court, and that type of thing. I don't know of any two sister universities in any state in the nation that have had a better overall relationship, cooperative relationship, than Purdue and IU. And that will certainly continue with Steve Bearing.
Acting President John Hicks. He talked about Dr. Stephen Bearing, who was named the ninth president of Purdue at a Board of Trustees meeting this morning. I'm Roger Priest.